Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. Now, I appreciate everybody just being patient. I don't take time off often, really never. I really like my job. But, you know, we took a full week off, went on a cruise with the fam, celebrate the father-in-law retiring. It was an awesome time. Appreciate everybody that was patient. And I did also appreciate all the messages of where you been? What's going on? So, yeah, sorry about that. I will not do that again. I got one more week off for my 20th anniversary this offseason. But that's about it. Other than that, we're going to be here. And, man, you know, we landed. Got back super, super late last night and, man, just woke up chomping at the bit, ready to talk. So this is episode 1613 of the 49ers Rush Podcast, and this is going to serve as your 49ers kind of free agency primer. Excited about this. We're going to be going over talks of Eddie Pinheiro, why that was such a good deal, what to do about Thomas Morstead in the punter position, some 49ers free agents I'd like to get maybe signed, and even leaving the episode with a very long list of my Rush Crush 49ers free agents that I think fit what the 49ers do schematically, and sticking with that kind of younger, cheaper, you know, value type signings. And, you know, again, this is free agency tampering period starts tomorrow. So this is kind of the last 24 hours where you're going to get a lot of rumors and stuff, which is fun. But all the new deals get announced tomorrow. Not all of them, but a large majority, the blockbuster ones. And last year we got nothing from the 49ers. Remember, all we got was Mac Jones, and we got the freaking tight end who I don't even want to talk about. So that was it. Nothing else really kind of took place. That was it. So I do expect the 49ers to be more aggressive in free agency this year, but nothing like what we used to have. Like last year, you did not sign one starter. The 49ers did not add one starter on offense or defense last year in free agency. Younger, cheaper, younger, cheaper, younger, cheaper. This year, I think, will be a little bit different. I could see them adding one to two starters. So we're going to get into that. Plus, obviously, your comments. I'm sure we'll dip into the draft a little bit. But just want to say thank you for everybody being here. Love all the hashtag CCs, which stands for Countdown Crew. You know, for those that watch live, it is a huge help if you do that hashtag CC early. So if you've already missed it, go ahead. If you're in the chat, you're watching live, just put the hashtag, the pound sign, and CC next to it. It means Countdown Crew helps us out. Anything that you throw in there helps out. Yeah, appreciate you, A-Boss. You the man. And, yeah, I know everybody's been waiting, but I am so thankful for you guys and glad to be here. Sometimes it's good to get away. I don't like getting away from the job. It was the longest. I think I was talking to the wife. I didn't even bring my laptop, which is what I always use. So, like, any time I do my road trip or I record live from the airport or whatever, I always have my laptop with me. It's kind of my safe space. It was the longest I've been away from my laptop in probably 4 years, which that's not healthy, but it was nice to get away. Anyway, appreciate you guys. Look at this. My big man. Oh, I appreciate you, man. It's good to see you. But he says, hashtag CC Countdown Crew. Let's go, JC. Joe and Bosa for a year, please. I'm going to go through probably in more detail than any other position the edge rushers. And yeah, a lot of people, Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, get the brothers. He's still productive, probably going to cost about $13 million a year is what I would guess. I'm not quite so sure. Right here, praying we get Mike Evans. I would love Mike Evans. I think he's a damn good player, obviously a Hall of Famer, 1,000-yard season galore over and over and over again. And, you know, news just hit today on Mike Evans that he is looking for, you know, quality quarterback and targets. Not sure the 49ers fit that theme. Definitely quarterback, Brock Purdy, for sure. I think that, but the targets, That is the one thing. If Mike Evans did get signed with the Niners, is he fit the younger, cheaper? No. But, man, I would love Mike Evans. I don't have it in the cards. I am not predicting that, but I sure as hell would be happy if they did. What's up, Flackers? My man from across the pond. Glad to see everybody here. What's up, Kevin? Appreciate you, Nick. Everybody showing up. Love it, love it, love it. Look at this. Label up. He says, give me Linderbaum at whatever it takes and Dobbs if under $20 million per year. Linderbaum would be my number one signing. He's not on my list. I do not think the 49ers will even really attempt to sign him. I think they're staying with the, you know, the cheap option that is Jake Brendel, and you kind of get what you get. I don't like it. Now, Dobbs, he's probably my number one. If I could predict a player to sign with the 49ers, Dobbs would be my number one, and I do think he comes in way under 20. I could see Dobbs getting kind of that $16 million per year. X can play all three wide receiver spots, versatility. Not great, but like, you know what you're getting. He has years of production and a similar scheme. Dobbs is like my number one guy that I would predict. That's just what it is. And I wish it would be Linderbaum. I'm with you, Flackers. I want it. What's up, Captain? Appreciate you guys. Joel, the sooner we realize it's another year of Jake Brendel, the better off you're going to be. Obviously, I'm not a president of the Jake Brendel fan club by any stretch, but I don't think he's going anywhere. And to be honest with you, I would give a higher percentage at him being restructured or extended than being released or cut. He has no guaranteed money left on his deal. God forbid. I don't want that to happen. I'm ready for a new chapter there. But I would love Linderbaum so much. Just don't expect this team. And it's funny, you know, you see teams that value offensive line, right? Ben Johnson. And this is just being a little critical of the 49ers here. Ben Johnson had a center retire that he paid premium money for. The next day trades for a center, right? Like that dude, whenever he got the head coaching job of the Bears, three straight starters, the very first thing that he did, and then drafted another one. Like, some teams value that. Some teams, the way they build. The 49ers are not that. Haven't drafted a center in 4 years. Only one team has a longer period. Haven't drafted a center in 13 years. No team in the NFL can say that besides the 49ers. Like, no matter how you slice it, this idea of investing in the offensive line is rather foreign to the 49ers. I understand you traded for Trent. That was awesome. And, you know, you've extended him. I hope they extend him again. I really hope that contract gets worked out. But, that's where that is. And thank you, Phil. Appreciate you, man. It says, well-deserved break. That's what I'm talking about. But, yeah, Sunday mornings are for football. I'm with you, Oscar. Appreciate you guys. Love all these hashtag CCs. Y'all showing up, man. And, yeah, I had a great vacation. It was awesome, man. It was great. NFC West rivals make it free agency and mini arms race already. Yeah, it's going to be crazy. You got, you know, the Rams traded for corners and, yeah, Seahawks, they're going to kind of do what they do. It's the toughest division of football. It's not close. It's been the best division of football since, you know, the change of the millennia. And don't expect that to change. Do not expect that to change. Captain Niner, I agree with you 100% right here. We need interior pass rushing more than edge. I know everybody wants edge rushers, and I'm with you. I think that you have to bolster that core, but you know, Nick Bosa, Mikael Williams, and Sam O. That is a wonderful 1-2-3. Now, you don't have your huge sack guy. Bosa's the do-it-all, right? Mikael Williams is the young upstart that, you know, is your base D, you know, your base defensive end that can kick inside, and you're hoping he can develop. And Sam O's, again, another one of those base defensive end type players that can kind of be versatile by kicking inside. You need your pass rush specialist on the outside for sure. But like that 1-2-3 is not a bad 1-2-3. Nick Bosa, Mikael Williams, and Sam O, that's not bad. The defensive tackle room, you have two young upstart players in C.J. West and Alfred Collins, but they're not pass rusher guys. And I agree, Captain. Defensive tackle, from a pass rushing perspective, much more valuable for this roster. You just don't have it. It's not there. Now, do you stick with this idea of this NASCAR package, which has not worked since 2019, if I'm going to be honest, where we're just kick guys inside, and so maybe we don't need pass rushing defensive tackles because Mikel's going to be in there, Sam O's going to be in there, whomever else you add can play in there on third and long. But let's just be very honest. It has not worked. Hasn't worked. Yeah, Rashawn Gary if released. I love that. Man, what's up? What's up, SJ? Yeah, Rashawn Gary would be awesome, and I do expect him to be released. Yeah, that's for sure. Right here, I'm happy to trade away any old guard except Purdy, Kittle, and Warner. More quality all around rather than a few positions. Don't expect that to take place either. The 49ers blueprint is very clear. You have your major staples, your blue chip players, right? Warner, Kittle, Bosa, Trent, CMC. Yeah, you could add more to Kittle. You could add more to that. After that, young, cheap, valuable influx of talent to bolster those blue chip studs. That's the 49ers way right now. It's not changing. So, like, I do not expect the 49ers to go out there and to, you know, trade these big blue chip players. That's not going to happen. I understand the idea of this. Well, like, let's rebuild now. No. The 49ers are not, quote unquote, rebuilding. Get younger, cheaper, but keep your studs. And we saw that last year, right? We had a lot of the blue chip guys go down, but CMC, Trent, they were able to kind of keep the ship afloat and everything kind of kept going. But man, this is going to be fun. It's going to be a fun week. Free agency is no joke, man. There's no doubt. It is a big time. So appreciate all the hashtag CCs. They're still coming in. Let's talk Eddie Pinheiro because I haven't got to talk about this deal. I was on a boat or I was on a plane whenever we were flying all over the place yesterday, but I was on a plane whenever it got announced. I was like, I did a show with Larry Kruger on KMBR and on YouTube where I was like, the number one priority for this offseason needs to be lock up the Eddie Pinheiro deal before free agency and before the draft for several reasons. One, I considered Eddie Pinheiro the best kicker in the NFL last year. And I'll give you some supporting whatever. He signs a 4-year, $17 million deal with $10 million guaranteed. Fine. Like, that is awesome. $4.25 million per year. That's all the details we know. We don't know the cap structure. We don't know all that stuff just yet. We'll see. But just on a per year, that makes him the 13th highest paid kicker in the NFL. I don't care how you slice it. You know, Eddie Pinheiro doesn't have the longevity, the resume over multiple seasons, multiple teams to be able to say like, oh, I'm a perennial Pro Bowler type guy. But 13th highest paid kicker on a per year average? Yeah, I'm in. The only negative to Eddie Pinheiro is he doesn't have the experience where he's done it back-to-back years. And he's extra points. You know, you look at him, extra points, he was 88%. That's horrible. He made 36 extra points out of 41, meaning he missed 5. But that put him 35th on just the extra point percentage. Like, that's the negative to Eddie P. But the positives are off the freaking charts. Are you kidding me? This I really do think he was the best field goal kicker in the NFL last year. Now, missed week one, had the injury, missed a couple other games. That pushed him out of a lot of contention for Pro Bowls or whatever else. But did you know that Eddie Pinheiro's 96.9% field goal accuracy last year? 96.9, you know, right at 97%. It was the highest in the past 5 seasons of the NFL. Past 5 seasons. For anybody that, you know, attempted over 10 field goals in any of the last 5 seasons, it was the best. Not just last season. I'm talking 5 consecutive seasons in a row. He had the best field goal accuracy percentage for anybody that tried more than 10 kicks. You're paying him 13th. Now, can he continue this? I don't know. Probably not. But he doesn't have to. If you told me right now that Eddie Pinheiro dropped from 96.9% down to 92, 91, 90%, this is still, compared to what the other kickers in the NFL are making, you're still getting a value based off of the current market trends at the kicker position. So you're paying Eddie way below market value and leaving so much space, flexibility for him to, you know, kind of regress to the mean and still provide value. The dude was awesome. He missed one field goal, and it was 64 yarders. It was at halftime at the Indianapolis game. It was all the dong. anyway, like, dude went 7 for 7 on 50-plus yard field goal kicks besides that 64 yarder. So if you want to say 7 for 8, that's the only thing he missed. Made every single one inside 30, made every single one inside 40, every single one inside 50. I love this deal. And probably the gravy or the cherry on top for why the Eddie Pinheiro deal is so great is now Kyle Shanahan can't draft a damn kicker for four more seasons, which was the stupidest damn pick in franchise history. Absolute waste. Not to mention just that Jake Moody sucked. But spending a third-round pick on a kicker is stupid as shit. I'm sorry. Pardon my French. Sunday morning. Whatever. That was dumb as hell. Never do that ever again. Never draft a punter again. Which brings me to my next point. Thomas Morstead deal. There are rumors. They're working out a deal. Morstead and Eddie Pinheiro, not really comparable. Yeah, Morstead did not have a good year last year. He did not. The regular season is wrapped, and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co. It's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Below average punter, but probably my biggest problem with Morstead was how bad he was in that playoff game against the Eagles. He had a punt for 25 yards and a punt for 35 yards. And it's not like they were just touchbacks or like they were just shanks in the playoffs. Now, I had a 51-yarder the Seattle playoff game, but I didn't like that. You know, you go through the metrics with Thomas Morstead. His grade, 54.8 on PFF, 33rd best. That's not good. Yards per punt attempt, 54.8. That's not good. 34th. 36.9 net yards. That's 35th. 25 inside the 20. That's 21st. Like, just wasn't great. The one thing that was really, really cool about Thomas Morstead, he had one touchback all year and playoffs combined. So, like, whenever you're fighting for those field position, that dude does not kick touchbacks. One. It was second best in the NFL. The only punter that was better was Brian Anger. For the Cowboys, but even his hang time, 4.1 seconds, worse than the NFL. Like, I don't mind keeping the continuity with Thomas Morstead, but it's league minimum deal at best. Now, and again, if the 49ers are going through their draft grading process, and if they have one punter with a 7th round grade on it, then overpay Morstead. I'd prefer that than spitting a dumbass pick on a punter like you did Mitch Wisnowski. That was stupid as hell. Like, do not draft punters. Do not draft kickers ever. Don't do it. So I'm not sold on, like, really, if they sign Morstead, cool. But it should be cheap as hell. Like, he did nothing to be kind of one of the top paid guys out there. He really, really didn't. And it's not like I just, like, dislike him or anything like that. It's just, you know, like, what did he do? He had a couple games where he was, like, red hot and down, like, several inside the 10. That was cool. But you look at just, you know, the hang time, distance, even net return yards, which, like, it's just a lot of it just not good. Uh-oh, here we go. Yeah, yeah, Chapman cursed it. I love it. Yeah, it's where we're at. Tommy wants to hear some F-bombs. Sorry about that. I don't want to do that. Bobo, hopefully Eddie Pitoniero doesn't hit a slump because Jake Moody took us to Super Bowl. Jake Moody missed a kick in every playoff game he's ever been in. I don't even think they're comparable. Very happy Jake Moody is somewhere else. But anyway, and yeah, Monkey, I do think that this is important. The veteran presence of Morstead, I do like that as well. But what are you paying for, right? If you pay a veteran that's been around that long, they get bumped up with their accrued years. It gets more expensive, more expensive, more expensive. So I don't know. Whatever. And yeah, Ghost. The third round pick was the stupidest thing Kyle ever did. That was dumber than the Trey Lance trade up. Trey Lance trade up at least had a ceiling on the pick, and it was a quarterback. And, like, yeah, it didn't work out. It was dumb. But, like, a third round pick on a kicker, that's the stupidest shit ever. It's just, that's the most low IQ thing, whatever. And yeah, and I love Kyle Shanahan. I hope he's our coach for as long as he wants to be the coach here. But yeah, that was just, oh man, you can't do that. You just can't do it. Can't do it. Can't win with them. anyway, so that's kind of the free agency roundup with what we're hearing now. This free agency class for the 49ers of players that they're losing, very, very different than the past, where you're losing all these, like, you go back to last year and you're talking Greenlaw and Hufanga and Aaron Banks, and, like, man, you lost a lot of very quality players. That's not true this year. And of all the free agencies that are currently scheduled to hit the market tomorrow, I don't want really any more deals done until after free agency, probably after the draft. Like, there's a lot of guys that's just like, man, it'd be cool to have them back, but not if you sign somebody at that position in free agency and draft it. So, like, guys like Kendrick Bourne, Sky Moore, Cleland Farrell, Curtis Robinson, Ben Bartsch, Matt Hennessy, Garrett Wallow. I like all those guys, but those are, like, back-end roster players that you're hoping can provide. Like, Sky Moore, I like Sky Moore. But, like, for me, I struggle with the boneheaded decisions that he makes consistently. He got better. And I like Sky Moore. Like, all those guys I would love for the 49ers to bring back. Not right now. Not right now. Let's see what happens in free agency. Let's see what happens in the draft. And then bolster your 90-man roster with these guys on the back end. Again, Kendrick Bourne, Sky Moore, Cleland Farrell, Curtis Robinson, Ben Bartsch, Matt Hennessy, Garrett Wallow. Like them. But they should not be part of your, we got to have guys. Let's see what's out there. We might be able to get some more better fits with some higher ceilings, some, you know, whatever. But if we don't, and if we strike out at a position, man, having Kendrick Bourne as your five or six is great. Having Sky Moore as your returner is not the end of the world. I would prefer to get somebody that has some wide receiver promise that could participate there. Cleland Farrell. Yeah, you got him off the street last year, and he came in. It was one of the better guys whenever you had all those injuries. But is there room for Cleland Farrell if everybody stays healthy and you draft a defensive end in the top three rounds, if you sign a defensive end in free agency in days one or two of free agency? No, and probably not, right? Curtis Robinson, Walter Payton Man of the Year, freaking love him. Special teamer only. I would like to have him back. But, like, the one name that I have left off that I do want to sign is Luke Kuechly. Pro Bowl special teamer. Now, special teams only. Dude was awful at linebacker. Luke Kuechly, I would like to sign now. Now, you have two, you know, restricted free agents that can't negotiate with other teams, and that's Sam Okwuonu and Jake Tonjes. Los Gatos, baby. Get those guys back. But you're not competing, so you don't have to rush with those guys because nobody else can get them, right? All those different things. So that's kind of where I am on those. But yeah, right here, Dan, he says, John, speaking of Lance, thoughts on little bro? Yeah, Bryce Lance, fun player. 49ers need an X, no doubt about it. Went out there and tested like a freaking stud. And whenever you look at him and just what he's been able to do, we're talking Bryce Lance out of North Dakota State, right? Played same place. It measured in at 6'3", 204. And yeah, ran a 4.34. Now, also, I should probably talk about this. On our Patreon page and the 49ersrush.com, whenever you go to 49ers player breakdowns, we have our updated spreadsheet, draft spreadsheet with 400 plus players, all updated combine info. Nobody else has this as accessible as we are, as we have. And again, you can tell if their measurements are validated at the Senior Bowl, if they're, you know, combine, if they miss that, and we'll update it again after pro days and all that stuff goes on. But like, you want to know which wide receivers have the best 10-yard split, how long their arms are, their snap counts, their PFF grades, their run blocking grades, how many receptions, yards per carry, drop percentage, quarterback, which like the amount of work, and shout out to Ben and the 49ers Rush team. We're working very hard on our draft content, but that's up. I posted all of that this morning. And so if you want pure grade analysis of every single position, you know, quarterbacks, running backs, all the way across, you just log in there and you can see who are fits. And we're incorporating that into our draft guide, which will be ready early April. So yeah, so that's there. So I like Bryce Lance and he fits what the 49ers need, a true X deep downfield threat, which he is, but I don't like him until like late third round, fourth round, probably. The wide receivers, this draft is incredible. It's just what it is. Anyway, right here, Terry, John, why are the Niners waiting till the 11th hour with Trent Williams? That's a Trent Williams thing. Trent Williams always waits to the very end. He did it when the 49ers traded for him. You remember he tried to get the Vikings and 49ers to bid up the price. And then Washington agreed to trade him to the Vikings. And Trent Williams told him, I'll retire. I'll never play with him. And they said, fine, we'll trade you to the Niners, trade to the Niners. And this is now the third contract negotiation with Trent Williams, and it always goes to the end. Trent Williams will be the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. He wants his money. Trent Williams doesn't do discounts. Trent Williams is petty, and the fact that he has to be the highest paid player at all times, and he will be that. He'll be the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. But, yeah, that's a Trent Williams thing. The 49ers have change the way they're trying to negotiate in this post Brandon Ayuk world where they want to get deals done early. You look at the Colton McKivitz, you look at Diamador Lenore, like they want to get these, Brock Purdy, they want to get deals done soon. They don't like waiting, but you've got to have two to tango. Trent wants top of everything. No discounts ever. Trent Williams is not a discount guy. He's not a coupon guy. Probably shouldn't be. First ballot Hall of Famer, right? All that kind of stuff. So yeah, take that for what you want. Yeah, Travis right here, he says, you know, who are the free agents who won't break the bank but would significantly help the roster? Man, Travis, thank you so much. Appreciate the comment on Twitter. This is like how I built my notes for the entire show. And so I went through and created kind of a position by position. Like I didn't do quarterbacks. I don't think we signed a quarterback. You know, but I think I did every other position. I did 20 names of players that I think fit what the Niners do schematically, but also do not break the bank, but yeah, help the roster. So that's what we're going to be getting to. I love that. That is the second part of this show, and you are the freaking man. And let me just say this in the offseason. One, there's a few ways that you could help the show. One, the hashtag CCs, all that stuff. But also, make sure you turn that notification bell on and subscription bell wherever you listen. If you haven't already, go ahead and click that subscribe button. And right next to that subscribe button is the bell. Once you click on that, click all. That way, anytime we go live, you will get notified and you will be able to enter into all of the giveaways that we do for Countdown Crew. And to be honest with you, it is by far the best way to support our channel. Thank you. Hit that subscribe button. Turn on all notifications. All right. Back to what Travis is talking about. These are the 49ers rush crush players Now, they're not the best players per each position, okay? There are much better players at positions, but I don't see the 49ers being top-end spenders. I want Alec Pierce. I want Tyler Linderbaum. I want, you know, all these Trey Hendricks. I want, those are the best players available. That's not what the 49ers are going to do. It's not going to be the same thing as last year, younger, cheaper. You don't sign one starter. A lot of these guys on my 20 rush crush players would start for the 49ers. Some of them wouldn't. So here we go. Here's 20 players that I truly believe, like, these are guys the 49ers are going to target. How many they land, I don't think they're going to sign 20. But I went position by position and tried to be like, okay, you're trying to be cap savvy, you're trying to get value, and you're trying to bolster your roster. Wide receiver, the number one guy that, again, I said this earlier, Romeo Doubs, wide receiver Romeo Doubs. That would be the one player, like, if I could predict who the 49ers are going to sign, that would be the guy. That would be the guy. And, you know, you're looking at this kind of $12 to $16 million range, depending on how many years. He's 25 years old. He's played in the scheme. He can play X. He can play Z. He can play slot. He has experience doing all three. If the 49ers sign him, he would be the X. And, you know, you've seen people put out there exactly, you know, like what they want to see and, you know, yeah, what that contract would look like and all those things. But yeah, we'll see what that looks like. But yeah, Romeo Doubs would be my guy. Now, if you go super cheap at wide receiver, Dyami Brown. I don't love the player. You're talking about somebody that could come in for $4 to $5 million. But that is an X of an X of an X. That's all he does. He's a deep threat and a great deep threat that can play outside. And so if you sign Dyami Brown, well, now you've got two guys. He's got way more experience than Jordan Watkins and not going to move the needle. I don't think you signed Dyami Brown to be a starter, but he could be your slot guy and he could be your X. And then whenever you draft one, that's kind of how you go offset with that. And again, this is not like I suck at clickbait. I mean, I'd be a lot better if I was doing something that would like go viral. No. I'm talking about guys that fit what the Niners want to do and fit that scheme that are cost effective. And that's kind of where I see that. If you're a wide receiver, you want to play for Kyle Shanahan. You do. And he gets wide receivers paid all the time. But it's kind of boom or bust because it's a much more complex system than what he did at Green Bay. But Green Bay is similar. It's there. It is there. So, yeah, it right here, Joel. Doubs would be a good option, in my opinion. Played in the system. Good route runner. Concussion might be a concern, though. Yeah, he had a couple concerns, and, you know, he got benched for some off-field behavior with the locker room and whatever. Came out, had a full year after that. Everything kind of seems like it's gone well. So, like, you got to see how that is, how much he loves football. I get that. Now, running back, I think you need a running back. And I am kind of tired of drafting running backs. I'm not saying don't draft one, but you have young pups. You have, you know, Christian McCaffrey, obviously. Jordan James, I expect to be the number two. Isaac Rendo, I've been off that train since before we drafted him. And, you know, a lot of people got really upset with me with my takes on that one. I think, you know, we could look back now and kind of say, like, all right, definitely there's a reason why he never even started in college. We'll see what happens. Can't even return. He runs into his own guys, fumbles. Probably cut candidate, but he'll be on the 90. But I want a veteran presence that can do it all. I don't want just a running back. I don't want just a change of pace. So the two guys that I really, really like the running back position, Kenneth Gainwell, Rashad White, neither are going to break the bank. The running back position is, you know, relatively cheap. But you're looking at Rashad White. You can get him for $3 to $5 million a year. Gainwell, same thing. It ain't cost nothing. That's less than a kicker contract. And you can get those guys, and maybe they are your number two, but we've seen Kyle Shanahan will run Christian McCaffrey into his grave before he takes him off the field. And so, yeah, it's rough. And right here it goes. We should always draft a running back every year. I'm cool with that, too. I want to draft back in running backs. Now, I do like, you look at where they drafted, you know, Jordan James. Like, that's what I'm totally cool with that. You got Jordan James in the fifth round. He's pick 147. Yeah. Man, spend another fifth round, you know, pick on a running back. I love that. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, the constant third rounders that never even see the damn field, that's kind of rough. Yeah, James Conner just got a new deal. He just got signed. I don't know if you saw that. Literally minutes before we went live, Cardinals already re-signed James Conner, so he's there. Like Gainwell, yeah, he's always around. He's a fun player that could do it all. And, man, you talk kick return, pass catch, pass block, run game, check. That's what you want with this 49ers regime, because Christian McCaffrey led the NFL in touches last year. Don't expect him to do it again this year. This is the third time Christian McCaffrey has led the NFL in touches. The two previous times, never played more than four games the following season. I don't expect that, but yeah. Now, if you want speed at the running back position, Rashad White has speed. Kenneth Gainwell has speed. They're more all-purpose backs than those home run speed guys. But I would sign somebody that you could use as an every down back, Gainwell or White, and draft in the fifth round, late fourth, fifth round, a speed high upside back. That's what I would do. And then your four backs, CMC, right? Let's say Gainwell, Jordan James, and then whoever you're drafting late. Maybe you could flip Garrido for a seventh. I doubt that, but maybe you could. Yeah, he didn't put up good tape. The high upside speed is there, but he just can't do anything else. So that's where that is. Yeah, what about Corey Kiner, the running back that got hurt in camp? Camp body. Maybe he turns something and stays healthy and can surprise and, you know, surpass Isaac Garrido or compete on something like that. But you don't – with guys like that, Sebastian Valdez, Corey Kiner, Stone Blanton, you don't plan anything for them. You hope to be surprised by those back-end undrafted free agents. You're hoping for a Sam O. That's the hope. You don't plan for a Sam O. You hope you get that. And I understand, like, Sam O's not like, oh, that dude's a Pro Bowler. No. He's a depth piece that if you need to start in issues, he can do the damn job. That's what you're hoping with Corey Kiner, Sebastian Valdez, Stone Blanton, you know, Drew Moss, these guys that we love because we're hardcore crazy. You're watching this show in freaking March. Like, you love this team. You love these players, right? That's awesome. That's beautiful. But you don't plan for that. You don't plan for Jordan Watkins or Jacob Cowan. Like, you're not planning for them to be those guys at this stage in their career. You're hoping they could turn into something, but you have to have an alternative out there because you can't rely on what they've done. Jacob Cowan has two catches in 2 years. Jordan Watkins has two catches in 1 year. Those aren't foundational planning periods. You hope, and you give them a chance, but they got to earn it. Right? And what did Kyle Shanahan say last year about Jordan Watkins? He's got to pass the guys ahead of him. He can't pass them. He's not passing them in practice. Jordan James did, right? Jordan James passed players behind him or that were ahead of him and ended up taking that number, you know, three job. And then CMC got hurt in the playoff game. He finally got some carries. So, like, you got to get there. You got to get there to that point. So, I like Corey Kiner and I want him on the 90-man roster, but. Yeah, hopefully that provides some, you know, stuff there. What's up, Rick? Appreciate you, brother. You the man. You the man. What is going on with the 49ers pass rushers? Yeah, we need more pass rushers, no doubt about that. But a lot of that was just injuries. A lot of the defensive end issues were injuries. Bosa, Mikael Williams, out. Bryce Huff was terrible, right? Yetur Gross-Matos has never played football since the Niners signed him. Yeah, all these injuries. That's a killer. That's a killer. Let's finish out the offensive side of the ball. Then before we jump to defense, we'll get to some super chats. We'll kind of break that up. Tight end, I've been hard pounding the table. Cade Otton is a perfect fit, and if you want to go even cheaper than that, Foster Moreau, you have to get somebody that can block and bring that physicality. I remember everybody talking about Kyle Pitts, and I'm just like, dude, it's not even an option. Not even. It's funny because I understand we all want the best with our team. And so the questions when offseason first start were about, you know, everybody got kind of franchise tagged. The only one that wasn't was Alex Pierce, but like, oh, what if we get, you know, the running back from the Jets, Breece Hall, and like never was an option. Kyle Pitts never was an option. Like these franchises never, they're not options. It's not the way the 49ers are going to do this. It's not. They can't because of the roster makeup and construction with the cap. You're paying so many top-of-the-line players at the position and now a quarterback as well. You have to be cost-effective during free agency and build through the draft. Now, they haven't drafted well, so that's kind of where that is. But I like Cade Otton. I like Foster Moreau. I think they both fit the Niners kind of punch you in the teeth. And I think that they're going to continue to expect George Kittle to continue to play. Yeah, he's going to miss time this year, but I don't think that they're trying to do a reset at the tight end position to build around other people. I think that they're trying to provide supplemental pieces, and the idea is George Kittle will be back midway through the year. That's kind of how I see that. Guards, James Daniels, perfect fit. Again, you know, I want Elijah Vera Tucker. The injury concerns there, but if he's healthy, he's the picture-perfect zone guard, but he's going to be pricey and has the injury history. But James Daniels, cheap. 49ers don't spend on offensive line. They're already rumored to bring back Ben Bartsch. I would prefer James Daniels. I'd prefer Dylan Reduns. Both very cheap options, a left guard that fit the scheme that are there. So, again, my offensive kind of rush-crush free agents that fit the value and scheme, Romeo Doubs, Diami Brown, Kenneth Gainwell, Rashad White, Cade Otton, Foster Moreau, James Daniels, Dylan Reduns. Those are the guys that I'm just like, man, they fit. They fit. They fit. They fit. Now, before we jump to our super chats and before we get to the defensive guys that I really, really like, hey, if you're local, you want to help somebody out, this is the way to do it. You want to support local business? You want to do what's right for the environment? Go to themattressguyco.com. Locally owned business, diehard Niner fan that supports the show, supports the 49ers Rush Road Trips. He is a legend. So if you have a mattress you want to get rid of, you just go to themattressguyco.com, set an appointment. They come pick it up. Easy peasy. Support. I mean, it's just, it's a win-win-win. Go to themattressguyco.com, support local business, and do what's right for the environment. I love it. It's a win. All right, right here. Oscar, appreciate the super chat. He says, John, thoughts on Ted Hurst, the wide receiver. I think he's awesome. This is somebody that could be a round two, round three player, depending on where you see him. Georgia State, small school guy. But he's played a lot of football. He's 6'3". Basically, he's as close to 6'4 as you can get, 206. 4'4", 240, 155, which is really good burst for a wide receiver that big. But, yeah, he's awesome. And his tape is great. The problem with Ted Hurst is Georgia State tape, you don't have a lot of the experience against quality opponents. You're betting on the physical traits and all those things. Now, this is a wide receiver-heavy team, and right now he's currently consensus 14th wide receiver. But, man, people are talking about seven wide receivers going in the top 50 picks, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, again, you know, depending on consensus, which now is going to start to kind of get a little bit more solidified post-combine because you have a lot of these metrics. But, yeah, you know, Ted Hurst, he's currently 92 on mock draft database. And so, you know, I like him a lot. Where are you comfortable taking him? Because whenever you look at the 49ers' projected draft picks, guess what? They're picking 58. That's the second round. Probably too early. But you don't pick again till pick 92. Is he going to last that long? Is he going to be there? Do you run the card in? Do you trade up from the third round spot if you like him that much? Because wide receivers are a need. You have to sign a wide receiver in free agency and draft a wide receiver probably in the first three rounds. That's how bad the wide receiver room is. So Oscar, yeah, I like him. Third round, yes. If he's there in the fourth round, pick 127, love it. That's a love pick, but I don't think he lasts that long. I would not like a second round pick there, but if you told me the 92nd pick for the 49ers in the third round was wide receiver Ted Hurst, I'll take it. I'm cool with that. That means that you addressed other positions in the first and second round. probably D-line, O-line. Probably not O-line. They don't draft O-line, but I would like that to be there. I'd be really happy. So I like the player. Now, I have not gone through – I've gone through one film of his. I got to go through more. But, man, it's rough seeing him out there playing against guys that are not NFL-caliber players. That's rough. Silent, what's up, man? He says, Crocker liking Chris Bell to Bolden. Sign me up. We have a full Chris Bell breakdown video up on our Patreon in the 49ersrush.com. And I called him a smaller DK Metcalf was my comp for him. Here was my draft write up on Chris Bell. Now you have to understand he's got the major injury. That's just what you've got to understand. Like, he's got the major injury, did no measurements, you know, none of that stuff at the combine. Injury, he tore his ACL November. So you're talking about somebody that's not going to participate in training camp, OTAs, none of that stuff. Like, this dude, you're waiting. You're not opening this package until October. He can start to practice, right? Like, it's going to take some time. But I like him. 6'1", 222. Way smaller hands than I thought he would have. Way smaller arms. He had 10-inch hands. That's fine. But this is what my film notes write-up on wide receiver Chris Bell. Big and strong, elite burst. Doesn't get much separation versus elite corners. Talked about the ACL tear, but had 22 miles per hour tracked several times on GPS trackers. So you're talking size, weight, tough as hell. Yards per catch machine, 14.3 yards per catch across the last two seasons. Acceleration jumps off tape. Ideal X wide receiver build and strengths, but more of a Z roll gadget player. Doesn't run the full route tree, and that was kind of a problem. He's built like a big running back. But, man, his upper body strength, this dude bench presses corners that try to kind of press him. Like, you don't press this dude. He's a bully. He is a bully. Fearless over the middle. Doesn't run a complex route tree, so that's huge. And he's going to miss training camp. So Chris Bell's an awesome player. Tape's great. It's an ACL, which in today's NFL world, not the end of the world, but he's going to be redshirted. This is somebody that you're hoping to contribute, you know, starts practicing in October, maybe starts getting some reps in November, not starting until December, and you're on a playoff run. So I like him. And shout out to Eric Crocker. He's a freaking man, good friend, big fan of their show, him and Peacock. They're great. Consider them great dudes. So don't disagree with the problem with my Chris Bell to Anquan Boldin take. Doesn't run the route tree that Anquan Boldin does. Who does? Anquan Boldin's one of one, but he is built similar. You stack him next to him, the physical look, yeah, he's mean as hell. That's there as well. And you look at just kind of like his run blocking rate was 67.7, which isn't bad. That's pretty solid, but it's like, dude, you can bully corners when you want to. Do it more often in the run game. So I do like Chris Bell. I'd be fine in the second round, third round for him. Chris Bell was healthy, he'd be a first round top guy. And probably the better comp isn't, you know, a smaller DK or Anquan Boldin. It's probably Xavier Leggett. And I think that's about the round he would go. And that's about as raw as he was too. So like, that's kind of putting Chris Bell a little bit in a bubble or a box, you know, how, whatever, but that's what I see. But the play tape, he plays like DK, just a smaller version, in my opinion. Jordan, appreciate the super chat. The middle class of free agency is nice this year. Agreed. There are a lot of quality free agents you can sign that are back end starters, high end depth pieces for value. And free agency, they're going to pay attention to the top. I get that, the dollars and cents and whatever else, but that's not where the 49ers are going to be operating. They're going to be operating with, okay, the free agency has set the market at this position with these high-end deals. We're going to operate underneath that. So let's get back to the defensive side. Shout out to Travis. Who are the free agents who won't break the bank but would significantly help the roster? And right here, as you know, shout out to Sin. She's incredible. I'm tired of bringing in injured players. If you don't touch injured players, you're dealing with about 25% of the pool in the draft or free agency, because football is 100% injury sport now. And now that players are staying longer in college with the NIL and transfer and all that stuff, that's more time for them to get injured. So not that I disagree with you, Sin, but it's like, if you mark off everybody that has the injuries, oh yeah, that's where it gets interesting for sure. So let's get back to some of these defensive guys. You know, we went through the offensive side, but the defensive side, and probably the position that gets the most talked about, is the edge rusher position. Because, one, the 49ers invest in it more than any other position, and they were so bad at pass rush last year. A lot of that's injuries, whatever else. But it's an issue. So let's talk about the edge position. I have three players that just kind of make sense for me, dollars and cents wise, because you're not going to sign a starter. Again, Nick Bosa is a starter. Mikael Williams is a starter. You're looking for that complimentary third pass rush option that is value, not high end. Yeah, Trey Hendrickson's awesome. Yeah, Jalen Phillips is awesome. Awesome. Owe is awesome. Those are $20 million a year players. I don't think that's what the Niners are going after. And shout out to my man, Ben. He put together this true pass rush win rate versus, you know, here's the top pass rush win rate. You have Trey Hendrickson at 25. You have 25%, so he wins one out of four. Jalen Phillips at 24. Arnold Ebiketie's at 21%. He's the third highest. You can get Arnold Ebiketie for $9 million per year. Now, will Arnold Ebiketie come to the Niners? Remember, Raheem Morris was his head coach for 2 years at Atlanta. 1 year was stellar, but then they drafted not one, but two first-round edge players. He lost his starting job and didn't play much last year. But the times he did play, so will Arnold Ebiketie follow as a head coach that benched him or replaced him? I don't know. He's a perfect fit as that number three option. Boye Mafe, again, 17% win rate. You can get him for like $12 million. That's probably the guy I would want the most. And Joseph Osai, he's got a 13% win rate. You get him for $8 million. Cheap. High-energy guy. He's a Longhorn. I'm biased there, but great dude, great character, great locker room, great effort. Dude, I would love that. So those are my three edge guys. But there's a lot. And there's guys that you've had in-house. Charles Omenihu, Samson Ebukam, Arnold Key. Those are guys that have been through here. Yeah, man, I don't know. That's there right here, sticking with the theme. Got some more super chats I'll get to in a second, but I want to stay on this edge rushers topic. Mafe and Bichetti are two of the obvious ones. Gary, if he's made available. Rashawn Gary's going to get paid. He's going to get paid, you know, $16, $17 million a year, and I think he is a every down guy. His kind of athletic profile is going to put him closer to Mikael Williams. It's a little redundant, but yeah, I like him. I think they're going to go cheaper. That's just the way I see it. Sid, John, you're probably right. I appreciate you. I'm just so mad about the Seahawks. We all are. I'm blurring my vision on a lot of things. Nah, you're very rational, very intelligent person. Yeah, like, I feel you. And I constantly have to check back. Like, I do the same thing. I really, really do. Anyway, but yeah, so those are my three edge guys: Arnold Ebiketie, Boye Mafe, Joseph Osai at the edge position. Those are my guys there. Let's see here. I've got a couple more super chats. Let's get to this. Oh, here we go. I like this. Paul, appreciate you. Thoughts on Skylar Bell? He is my draft crush. You're talking 5'11", 192. He's one of the smaller wide receivers in this draft, but not small at all. Average size, kind of a, you know, built like a Ricky Pearsall type build. And, man, long arms, big hands, ran a 4.4 flat. Love that. 1.53, 10-yard burst. Like, my favorite thing about Skylar Bell is he might be the most versatile wide receiver in this draft. He has a full year starting experience at the slot position. He has a full year starting experience at the X position. Like, he can do it all. Backfield, inline, slot, out wide, versatility. Just got it all. Now, I've got to do more tape on him. I'm just being very, very honest there. And he's not the biggest yak guy. Only about 8 yards per catch, yards after the catch. So, like, he does his work before the ball gets to him. Not a negative. That's how Ricky Pearsall is as well. Drop rate's incredible. Quarter QBR when targeted is incredible. Does kind of everything. Run blocks very, very well. Production great over multiple years. You're talking like, I like this guy. You want to put him in kind of that Stephon Diggs, you know, whatever type wide receiver. I'm cool with that. Now you jump over and you see like where's Skylar Bell going. He's overall a consensus 96. So if you don't get Ted Hurst in that third round, Skylar Bell's one of those guys. Could he play X for you? Yes. Is he a home run ideal X in this draft? No. If you had an X wide receiver, I would like Skylar Bell way more. You've got to get an X. So if you sign somebody like a Dyami Brown, Mike Evans, Romeo Doubs, then the value or the fit of Skylar Bell for the 49ers increases. Skylar Bell can't play X. I don't think that's where he should be. In an ideal world, I want him at that Z or a slot wide receiver. So like if I was the 49ers, what I want him at, I want him to play the slot. I think that's where he would be the most dangerous in Kyle Shanahan's scheme, assuming you have Ricky Pearsall healthy. Giant assumption. Giant assumption, as we all know. But I do like Skylar Bell. Third round, fourth round grade. Wouldn't be shocked if he, and this is probably not negative, every team's going to have Skylar Bell on their board. Because if you need an X, you like him. If you need a Z, you like him. If you need a slot, you like him. You need a returner, you like him. Like, you just, everybody likes him. So, like, he's not a scheme fit or wide receiver fit issue for any team. So, that's somebody, assuming the medical and off the field, you know, whatever. But, yeah, I like Skylar Bell. He's fun. Third, fourth round, ideal. With so many X wide receivers in this draft, he's probably a little lower on the 49ers board than I'd like to admit. But you address that in free agency, then, yeah, I'm with you. Silent, appreciate the super chat. Theory. Oh, okay. Tightening the purse, here we go. Tightening the purse. Curiously aligns with last year's Lynch's contract. Is this the York's way of saying prove you did a good job to Lynch? No, I don't think that John Lynch answers to the Yorks. I think John Lynch answers to Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan answers to the Yorks, right? So that's the up-down flow chart. Now, if Jed York was like, I want John Lynch out of here, then that'd be one thing. But John Lynch is beloved everywhere he's ever been. And John Lynch could walk away from the 49ers and get a huge pay raise to go work half the amount of time for, you know, an affiliate TV network at any time. Amazon offered him crazy money. He wants to win a championship and then go do that. So again, this is just my opinion. I could be way off. And you guys feel fine telling me I'm an idiot. We all know I'm an idiot. Let's just be very honest. I think they're fine with John Lynch. I really, really do. I don't think that there is anything out there that's like, oh, we've got to check this. Dude, one general manager of the year. Is two Super Bowl trips. You know, you look at that George Kittle. You know, you traded for two Hall of Famers, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa. You drafted Debo. You drafted Ayuk, which was a hit until it wasn't. Like, Brock Purdy. Like, no, that GM. And that's another thing, too. Whenever you put these things out there in broad, like, there was a discussion the other day, like, is John Lynch a top 10 GM? Yeah, easily. But if you compare him against the general managers in the NFC West, well, he's third. Like, well, you've got two of the best general managers in the NFL. Like, I would argue two of the top three general managers in the NFL in your division. So that makes it hard. But whenever you start looking at general managers across, you know, the NFL, and I'll just do this from a team specific, you've got the Eagles one, you've got the Seahawks probably two, you've got the Rams probably three. You want to throw the Chiefs in there? How much of that is just, you know, having Mahomes and drafting every player that beats women or children? You know, whatever. That's worked for them. Yeah, right? There's four. Then it's like, okay, who has done a consistently great job that you're going to put ahead of, you know, John Lynch? You want to say Baltimore? I'm cool with that. That's five. After that, shoot, man. I'm going through these. Denver, maybe you could talk about that. You know, George Patton, how long has Patton been there? But is he really making the decision? He's been there 5 years. All right, cool. That's six. All right, that's fine. Like, after that, definitely not them. No. Maybe you want to put Detroit there. That's seven. Maybe Green Bay. That's eight. That's it. So, like, that's where, like, you have to put John Lynch in that kind of 6 to 10 territory. Whether you hate him or you love him, he's fifth. You hate him, he's 10th. And I think you got to remember, Jed York went through the Trent Baalke, whatever you want to call it. John Lynch is nowhere on that spectrum, whatever the hell that spectrum is, right? Like, this is somebody that is Captain America. That's what they call him. They call him Captain America throughout the building. He's top 10 at least. And so I'm not the biggest, like, I don't give John Lynch a lot of credit. I think that he is really good at what he does. It just keeps everything kind of calm, chill, collected, and, you know, constant rebranding, a political approach to word salad, and doesn't really say anything or do anything, just, you know, clean corporate image. It's Kyle Shanahan everything. And what you remember when they asked John Lynch at the combine, like, oh, what were the thoughts with the hiring Ray Morris? He's like, oh, that's a Kyle decision. That ain't me. He's a general manager. He ain't got, like, it's Kyle. Kyle hired John. It goes Jed. It goes Kyle. It goes John Lynch. And John Lynch is probably closer to the people below him than he is closer to Kyle Shanahan or any of those other ones. But yeah, right here, 40 hours throwback. What's up, Josh? He says, yeah, he's top 10 at least, not top five. I agree. I'd probably put him 7 or 8. But again, I don't think he's really making a lot of the decisions. I don't think he makes decisions on trades. I don't think he makes decisions on draft picks. I think that he is kind of your CEO figurehead. And that's not a negative. That's not a negative. But if I'm building an organization, John Lynch probably not going to be at the top of my list. But for the report card you're putting out there for what he's done, he's got to be top 7 or 8, in my opinion. I don't know. I don't know. You trade for two Hall of Famers, get to two Super Bowls, got to win them. But you've built some freaking quality franchise. Like, you've built some rosters, man. You've built some freaking badass rosters, and you are part of that. You're the general manager. All right, Travis, back to his thing. Free agents that won't break the bank but will significantly help the roster. Defensive tackle, only have one. Probably one of the biggest issues with the 49ers team is the pass rushing at the defensive tackle position, but there's just not a lot. There's been a dramatic shift in defensive tackle becoming a premium position. 49ers probably started that whenever you traded DeForest Buckner, if I want to be honest with you. One of the many moves that led to that. That was a mistake. We can say that now, right? Obviously. But there's not a lot of interior stud defensive tackles. Like, a lot of people talk Jonathan Franklin Myers. I think that dude's going to get 15, 16 million. Like, Spotrac's on here talking about him as like an $8 million a year guy. But I'm just like, really? Like, I don't see that. Oops, typed in the wrong name. I apologize about that. Like, you look at his numbers and I'm just like, golly, this dude back-to-back years with 7 and 7.5 sacks per year. I think this dude's, the NFL average for sacks is about 2 million per year. And for somebody that's back-to-back years with 7 and 7.5 sacks, this cat's getting paid. I think he's priced his way out of the 49ers. I really, really do. And he's 30 years old. So, like, I don't want to pay $15 million. If you get Jonathan Franklin Myers for $10 million or $8 million, yeah, sure. I don't think he's going for that. But I do see a guy like Logan Hall. I do see him in that price range. that would be my guy. So my defensive tackle only have one. I'm just like, yeah, let's that would be the guy. Right here, Carlos, should they go after Jalen Carter? Nah. The Eagles trading Jalen Carter or Carter or making him available should tell you all you need to know. This dude is one hiccup away from a year-long suspension or more. And, you know, the 49ers do not go after these types of guys. Was a major issue coming out of college, character-wise, and it's only gotten worse. It has not gotten better. I'm staying the hell away from it, and it's going to cost a premium. Like, that's going to cost a first-round plus, and you're going to have to pay him in one more year. Like, nah, I'm out on the Jalen Carter, whatever that is. He's a stud. He is an absolute stud on the field. Nah. You've got your young bucks. You need somebody that's a pass rusher only. That's why. Now, I do like Onyemata. I think he's going to be pricey, and he's 33. Again, younger, cheaper. It's not just younger, cheaper like it was last year, but 33 and not cheaper, right? I like David Onyemata. He's coming from the Falcons, so Raheem Morris obviously likes him. I don't want to sign another 33-year-old defensive tackle. I don't want to do that. For top of the market money, he's going to get $10 to $12 million a year. Yeah, I don't think Jalen Carter and Hargrave are comparable at all. It's the off-the-field stuff that scares me and the price. You're going to have to give up, you know, two second-round picks and pay the dude. And that's why I'm out, right, Shark Tank? And for that reason, I'm out. There are some defensive tackles out there that, yeah, like bring back Armstead, Calais Campbell. Did he sign? I think he did. Like some of these older cats, if they're going to do cheaper deals, but we know how much Armstead's about his money. I don't expect that to change. I love Armstead and I'd love to have him back. And he hasn't missed a game since he left because they don't make him play so much, but another conversation. Linebackers. Niners need linebackers in the worst of worst ways. Really wish they would have. I'd bring back Greenlaw if there's even a chance of that. I doubt it could happen. He has to be cut first, but like I would bring him back in a heartbeat. I freaking love that man. But I have three linebackers. Caden Ellis getting a lot of publicity right now as a Niners target. Obviously, he was the captain of Raheem Morris's defense with the Falcons. You know, he is older. He's 30 years old, but not too old and done it recently. Nakobe Dean, Leo Chanel. Like, I've got three linebackers. This linebacker free agency class is awesome. It is awesome. You got top-end guys, Devin Lloyd, Okereke, Tremaine Edwards. Awesome. Demario Davis, great. But, man, there's, excuse me, so many guys. Matt Milano, Landon Roberts, Alex Singleton, Akeem Davis-Gaither, Alex Anzalone, Levante David, Nakobe Dean, Quay Walker, Devin Bush. Like, there are so many off-ball linebackers in this free agency class. Like, this is the one where I would say, let's just wait and see. Let's let the first 4 to 5 linebackers get signed, set the market, and then just go after one. Like, there are so many. There is no reason to go into this season with D Winners projected as a starter. Don't do that. Sam linebacker, cool. Not your will. No. He did not develop at all year. Not that he didn't have good plays, but no, you can't do that. For $5 to $7 million a year, you can go get studs. Alex Anzalone, are you kidding me? That is a playmaker. A lot of injury history, but I would love to get one of these guys. Just let 4 to 5 guys sign in the linebacker free agency class and take one of those next three. There are 12 off-ball linebackers. So my three, Caden Ellis, Nakobe Dean, Leo Chenault. Like, those are the guys that I would like that are cheap options. Caden Ellis, not super cheap, but that's where that is. Yeah, Edmonds would be awesome, but he costs a lot. It's what it is. There we go. Look at this, man. Appreciate you, Hilliard. He says, John, you got it spoiled. Can't go a day without you. I know I left you for like a little over a week, and I apologize. But content is going to be flowing like crazy this week. As soon as I finish this show, I'm jumping over to some game film. I'm going to do KC Concepcion tape. And that's going to kind of complete my first round wide receiver grades, because, or, you know, kind of options that we have available, because, you know, right now up on our Patreon page, link in the description of the video, and the 49ersrush.com, we have Chris Brazel II, Chris Bell, Denzel Boston, Omar Cooper Jr. I'm about to do KC Concepcion. Then we're going to move to the edge guys. Like, we're working through these, and this week is going to be content, content, content. And then on top of that, whenever the 49ers do sign a free agent, which they will, we're going to be breaking down their game tape, NFL game tape for you. So we're doing the rookies. But with this week being free agency, we're going to be dipping our toes back and forth, and it's just work, 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 man. We are going in, and I'm going to be honest. Like, I've already watched KC Concepcion a lot. I don't like him. I like him. I love him in the second round. I don't like him. I will not have a first round grade on him, but I'm not going to have 27 first round grades in this draft class. I'm probably going to have about 15. So you're getting somebody at 27 that probably don't have a first round grade on. But I'm going to – I have him very well below a lot of these wide receivers. I think that he's awesome. But for what the 49ers need, KC Concepcion does not fit. Now, I know a lot of people love him. And a lot of people are just like, oh, this is my guy. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Disagreements are great. And I love disagreements on draft stuff. But, like, whenever I watch KC Concepcion – 5'11", 196, didn't run the 40. That was kind of weird. How fast is he? You know, what's that going to look like? Crazy, crazy short arms. Doesn't run any of the route tree. You know, that part of that's not his fault. I think he can run good routes. Never was asked to. All of his production is from screens. All of it. So, like, can this dude play X? I sure as hell don't think so. And so you're going from literally the easiest. Here we go. I'm pulling up my write-up on him. The easiest route tree in college football to the most advanced in the NFL. Don't like that either. Experience, doesn't have much experience. But, man, you get the ball in his hands and it's just boom. And I hate always saying, oh, it's Debo-esque. But, like, this dude. It's there. It's like a Luther Burden. He's a Kyle Shanahan type guy. But you already got Ricky Pearsall. And, like, KC Concepcion needs to be a gadget guy. He needs to be a Z wide receiver. You already have a Z. Maybe he could develop into an X. But you mean to tell me he couldn't even run a 40 at the combine? All right. So you mean to tell me probably not like a 4.3 or low 4.4 guy. He's a running back who's a wide receiver that has no experience on tape running a lot of complex routes. Good route runner, but not experience at it. And so not his fault, but that's what we got. So you mean to tell me you're going to draft somebody in the first round that is a major projection at X, it is a major projection for an NFL complex route tree, and his best spot is already taken by a former first-round pick on your team? I don't know. There's just a lot I don't like. I don't like his hands. I see this a lot. Whenever he goes to catch, you know, that catcher's triangle is a very real thing that you work at middle school. And whenever I see people holding their hands out wide and trying to, like, clap on the football, that scares me. 10% drop. Like, I don't like him. I don't like him. Now, you look at consensus. He's all over the place. Like, number 29 overall. He's going in the first round. He's just too good of a freaking playmaker. If you didn't have Ricky Pearsall on the roster, if the 49ers had Brandon Ayuk pre-crazy stage, locked up long-term as their ex, and no Ricky Pearsall and no Debo, then I would say, dude, KC Concepcion is perfect. You don't have that. You have the role that he would play. So I am not the KC Concepcion guy. I'm just not. Doesn't mean he's not awesome. But, yeah. Silent KC missed reception. Yeah. Niners don't mind drafted players that don't catch well. Debo led the NFL and dropped several times. You look at what, you know, Juwan Jennings, pretty close to like a 50% catch rate sometimes. You look at Ronnie Bell. You, like, they go after these guys that, like, that is not super high on their list. What is high on the 49ers list is that gauntlet drill. KC Concepcion dominated the shit out of that. And you've heard, like, why'd you draft him? Well, we just loved his gauntlet drill. We loved his gauntlet drill. KC Concepcion, gauntlet drill, A+. I'm a tape guy. You can't find complex good tape route-wise because he just never was asked to do it. Not his fault. But, like, there's no tape on it. Anyway, that I've already done two games on him, but I haven't done my tape breakdown that I load on the thing. So, anyway, that's what I got later today. So, once I'm done with this, that's what I'm doing next. Sid, appreciate the super chat again. John, we missed you, but I was so happy to see you in the midst on vacation. Yeah, it was a good time, man. We took the kiddo, and, you know, we had a lot of extended family there, and it was awesome. We had a wonderful time. You know, I'm just trying to convince my wife to move overseas all the time. That's what I'm trying to do. It's so cheap overseas. It's so wonderful. It was a wonderful time. Thank you, Sin. I appreciate all your support. You smile on my face. All right, let's get to corners and defensive backs. I've got three corners that I like that are kind of rush crush value-based options. Cornerback Cordell Flott, cornerback Monterrick Brown, getting a lot of kind of push on social media wise, which bothers me because I've had him highlighted in the past, but that makes me think his price tag is going to be a lot higher than I thought. And cornerback Cam Taylor-Britt, who the Niners were super high on, got drafted right before they picked out of Nebraska. I think he would be a good fit. And it does seem more and more like that Renardo Green might be done there, but Cordell Flott, Monterrick Brown, Cam Taylor-Britt. Those are three corners I really like. And two safeties, Nick Cross and Ashton Davis. Again, value-based players that fit the scheme and price tag of where I think the 49ers will be shopping. That's where they are. Doesn't mean there's not more. And, yeah, lots of, you know, names and whatever else. And I'm sure I'm going to go 0 for 20. Probably not. But these are all names that I think kind of fit where we're talking about those guys in free agency. And that starts tomorrow. So here's what's going to happen. I'm just going to tell you right now. Tomorrow, free agency is going to start. The legal tampering period is upon us. And everybody's going to be like, oh, and I'm going to be one of them. I'll be doing it for you. Refresh, 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 refresh. F5, right? Ready to go. But the Niners, slow and steady. Don't expect fireworks right off the bat, but don't expect duds either like last year where you didn't sign one starter. 49ers will sign starters. I expect two starters to be added free agency this year with a couple mid-tier level value base, whatever. And as soon as they sign anybody, trust me, I'm going to get that video up for you guys over on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon page. And for those of you who don't know, that's how I feed my family. So like, if you like what we do here at the 49ers Rush, this is my full-time employment. It's how I put food on the table. Go subscribe. We got a 7-day free trial. This perfect timing for it because one just loaded the post combine NFL spreadsheet. Thanks to Ben. So sign up for free 7 days, go download that boy, bad boy, watch all our wide receiver breakdowns, KC Concepcion coming later today. And then stick with us for this week, and you get all the free agency that we add. I'm going to go through the NFL tape and show you how they fit, the good and the bad. And then you can cancel free of charge. Won't cost you a penny. If you like what we do, stick around. If not, no big deal. Ain't going to hurt my feelings. I just appreciate you being here. But if you like what we do and you want us to do more of this, show us some support, especially in the offseason. This is the rough time. During the season, it's easy because we got like lots and lots of sponsors and all that stuff. Offseason, belts get a little tighter around here. Any support that way we would appreciate. But man, it is good to be back. An episode number 1613 in the books for the 49ers Rush podcast. You guys are the best. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.